to turn with me tonight to 2 Chronicles and chapter 9, this quite wonderful account written so very long ago, nearly 3,000 years ago. This woman from afar came to see King Solomon. Our subject tonight is taken really from the first verse, hard questions answered. Have you ever had somebody ask you a difficult question? Perhaps they're trying to trick you. Perhaps they ask a question that you know that you cannot answer, and they know that you cannot answer it. They ask one of those impossible questions. How long is a piece of string? Oh, what a daft question. But tonight, we believe the Queen of Sheba came and asked important questions. Questions that can be answered. Questions which might be hard. Questions that perplex all of us from time to time. We don't know, I'm going to admit at the beginning, we don't know what the questions were. But we have quite a few pieces of evidence that tell us the nature of the questions. They tell us what was on her heart and how Solomon answered. And so if you bear with me tonight, there will be a little bit of speculation about some of the questions that she in all probability was asking King Solomon. Well, what do we do when we approach that position in life? We come to that position which surely all of us must come to. Surely there's more to life. More to life than what I can see and touch. Surely there's more to life than the monotony of 9 to 5. I know we don't have jobs like that nowadays. Since the pandemic, many have a different schedule. But the monotony of life, school, day after day after day, get up, get dressed, eat, play, learn, work, day after day. Surely there must be more to life. Well, we read this evening of a woman who it seems had everything but had nothing. She was a queen. You know what that means? In ancient days, she would have had many bowing down. We read of her servants. She was wealthy. She seems to have had a peaceful kingdom. There's no mention of her seeking an alliance with Solomon. No mention of enemies. She seems to have had everything. And yet she had nothing. Because she's searching and seeking. And in her heart and mind, there are hard questions. Because she's not satisfied with life. It's a question I often ask. Are you satisfied with your life tonight? What is it that gives you satisfaction? If it's something that you can see and touch, be careful, because it won't be with you forever. Because the things we can touch and see, if they're people, they may not be your friends forever. If it's what you can touch, you may not have it forever. So what is it that gives you satisfaction? We see so many people striving, looking, working all hours, acquiring, seeking after something. Where is it? And surely that's the thought of this lady, the Queen of Sheba. No, the New Testament mentions the Queen of Sheba. They call her the Queen of the South. She's not a football club. She's the Queen of Yemen. Yemen. Ancient Yemen. And so she traveled. If you can picture in your mind, Yemen is underneath Saudi Arabia. And then you come up to modern day Jordan. And then to Palestine. 2,500 kilometers. How many camels would that have taken? How many days' journey? 2,500, when you can't go more than 7-8 kilometers an hour on a camel, that would have been months and months traveling. She must have been serious, a serious seeker. The Lord Jesus speaks of her. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, he says, "The queen of the south, the queen of Sheba or Seba, came to seek Solomon." But the Lord Jesus says, "One greater than Solomon is here with you now." So we have the key to unlock this passage. This is about a seeker after truth, a seeker after spiritual reality, coming before Solomon, who is Christ, because Christ tells us that he is greater than Solomon. And Solomon was a great king in his time, wealthy and wise. And so if the Lord Jesus says, "One greater than Solomon is here," he was speaking of himself. So it's very straightforward. Let me tell you what it means. This is about a Gentile seeker, somebody that wasn't born in Palestine, somebody far from God, coming to seek answers to life, answers to the gaping hole within the heart. What is it? Why am I dissatisfied? I seem to have everything, she must have thought, and yet I don't have what really gives me satisfaction. Is there someone here tonight? You're striving, you're looking, but you haven't yet made that journey. It doesn't need to be 2,500 kilometers, but it does need to be a serious journey to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. This is 970 to 930 BC. That's when Solomon reigned, the son of David, over Israel. Well, she'd heard of his wealth. Oh, what wealth Christ has. The richest king that there will ever be. The one who has eternal riches. She had heard of his power. Oh, Solomon was a mighty king. Mighty, mighty king. His kingdom had been extended because of David, his father. Oh, what power. But it's nothing compared to Christ. Christ, who has power over every life to judge as well as to create. And what wisdom Solomon had. 3,000 proverbs. 1,005, I don't know why, 1,005 songs that he'd written and he could sing. And then just think of that wonderful incident, two mothers coming and contesting one little baby. "It's mine, it's mine." Oh, the genius of Solomon to threaten to cut the baby in half. He had no intention of doing it, but he knew that the real mother would stand up and protect that child. What wisdom! And so we see wealth, power, and wisdom. What a picture of Christ. Nobody, surely, no other king has had wisdom, power, and the extraordinary wealth that Solomon had. What a great picture of the Lord Jesus. He had everything, Solomon, it seemed. All the wealth that David had amassed so that he could build that vast building, the temple, where people would come and worship. Again, a picture of coming to Christ to worship and to bring our homage to the great king. So she's not satisfied, but she's a wealthy woman. She brings gold, camels, spices, servants, hundreds, we presume, to carry all that stuff and to support her over the months or even years that she made that very dangerous journey. What an unusual journey. A journey across a desert. A journey that she would have had to have prepared for so carefully and thought about. A costly journey. It was dangerous. There was bandits. Why did she do it? She had a motive. Do you have a motive? Are you motivated to find the answers to the hard questions of life? That's what it says here. She came to Solomon with hard, I think perplexing would be another way, perplexing questions. And she comes to Jerusalem with a very great company. She finds him. And we would say, pours her heart out. No one has ever understood her. She's speaking queen to king about all the things in her heart. She felt she could trust him. She could tell him her innermost thoughts, her failings, the things that disappointed her in life. She could tell him. She communed with him of all that was in her heart. Is there somebody here tonight? And you need to go and tell the Lord Jesus everything in your heart, your burdens, the crosses that you bear, the things that you're not happy with, the things that you regret, the secrets that are told. I was with somebody this afternoon. He said to me, I'm telling you something I've never told anybody before. Have you got secrets you've never told anybody before? This wasn't some bad thing. But have you got secrets? Something you've never told anyone? Something you've hidden? Something you've stolen? You go and speak not with Solomon, but with one greater than Solomon. She came. She was a dissatisfied, serious seeker. I hope we have some tonight. And you are dissatisfied. You feel empty. You feel a need that can only be filled by going to the one who is full of wealth, full of power, and full of wisdom. You know the types of questions she would have asked. They usually start with, why? Do you ask questions like that to your parents, children? Why? 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 Some of them are quite hard to answer for us as parents. What? Why? And so she would have opened her mouth. Why, King Solomon? Why? And I'm going to suggest some of the things. She came. She saw. And she didn't conquer. But she heard. And she understood. And she's going to go away fully satisfied with what she found and she saw. This was a queen on a quest to satisfy her inner heart. She's searching. She's inquisitive. She's restless. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. Sometimes you have a question and then it slips from your mind. A month, a year goes by. And the nagging question's gone, but not with her. If she gathered up all her things and planned this journey, she must have been serious. Oh, what a wonderful search. And she came to the one. She came to the one who, it was said of the Lord Jesus Christ, come see a man who told me all things that I had done. Is not this the Christ? Do you remember the woman at the well? She spoke to Christ and the woman goes away and says, he told me everything. Well, Solomon couldn't tell her everything, but he told her everything that she needed to know. She comes with these questions. She's going to empty her heart. Well, let me try to speculate. I've got 10 big questions, very, very briefly. 10 questions, I'm sure you've heard of all these before. I think they're the big ones. Let me tell you them quickly. Where do I come from? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Is there? And if there is a God, who is God? And what do I have to do with him? Why is the world the way it is? Why do I sometimes feel my guilt and feel dirty uncomfortable, unclean, I can't get away from that problem. What's right? What's wrong? How do I know where the dividing line is? I can't just feel it. I can't see it. I need to know it. What's right and what's wrong? What is truth? How do I know what's timelessly true and comprehensive? And why am I unfulfilled in my life, despite, no doubt in her case, despite my position and reputation and everything I've got? Just 10 brief questions. Let me give you almost one sentence explanations. Where do I come from? Where do I come from? I don't mean biologically. Sure, we know the answer to that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God, the God who is infinite, the God who has all knowledge, is the only one that could make somebody with a brain, somebody that can think and is reasonable and rational. Oh, surely, surely, God has made me. God has made me. It's no accident. I'm not just, as we heard last night, a slab of meat. As Richard Dawkins says, my mind is not a slab of meat. I'm talking to you. I'm reasoning. I'm trying to use arguments. I'm looking at you. I'm taking in all the things that you're saying to me with your faces. I'm not a slab of meat. You might think I am. But surely, every single cell has been wonderfully programmed by a God who's imparted knowledge and DNA and information into every cell of the billions in my body. Oh, where do I come from? Oh, God. God is the beginning. In the beginning, God. Surely that's the answer. Secondly, who am I? I don't mean my name or my age or the color of my eyes. Who am I? What's my identity? What really defines me? I'm unique. I'm not a number in a depersonalized Jewish prison camp. I have a name. God knows me by name. God cares for me. Who am I? I am what God has made me. He has defined me. He's given me an identity. He's made me male or female. He's given me a character that's absolutely unique. There's no other explanation. Who am I? I am what God has made me. I am what God has defined me as. I am what God wants me to be. Third question. Why am I here? You see, this builds up. This is what we call a biblical, Christological worldview. This is how we think about life, the world, who we are. Why am I here? Oh, I'm not here just to please myself. I'm not here just to please you, although I try. I'm not here just to pay my taxes. I'm not here just to eat and drink and be merry. I'm here because I'm made by God and for God. And when I find peace with Christ and a knowledge of Him, I can now begin to live my life for God. And it's in living for Him and in Christ being within me that I find the meaning of life. And I find purpose and joy and happiness and satisfaction that I never had. Striving, searching. Wouldn't she have asked that question? Why am I here? The queen of a vast country with all the wealth and all the power. I don't have war, I don't have problems, but my life, what's it for? Help me, Solomon. Teach me. And then where am I going? Where am I going? Well, it depends. how you live and who you know will determine how you die and how you spend eternity. You see, we all live as sinners. But if you die as a sinner, you will go away from God. But if you die as one who's been forgiven and cleansed and you have a right relationship with God, then you will die in the knowledge that you have peace with God. Where am I going? Oh, I know that my Redeemer lives because he's died for me. And because I know that on that day, like Christ rose again, so I will rise again to be with him forever, because I've repented of my sin. Is there a God? Oh, that question. Is there a God? Who is God? Oh, there is so much evidence for God. It's never, never, ever a question of evidence. When the Lord Jesus was on this earth, it was never a question of evidence that he was the Son of God. Miracles, healings, power over nature, power over leprosy, power over sin. Thy faith has healed you. No one else could say that. It's never a lack of evidence. It's always a lack of faith to believe in the evidence that God has already given us, that's planted within our hearts and minds. We have a knowledge of God. We thought about it last Sunday night, that conscience that strikes a chord. Why is the world the way it is tonight? Why do people go and cause havoc in this world? Why are the people tonight so dissatisfied? They're sat on the green with a bag of cans, drinking themselves for the umpteenth night. Silly. Why is the world the way it is? Why is there disunity, arguments, fighting, wars, famine? The Bible has the answers. The Bible says it's because of us, not because of them. It's because of us having that condition. Surely Solomon would have explained about the human heart and how the heart is so fallen and corrupt and how we need to be mended because we're so broken. Why is the world the way it is? Because of the fall and because of the consequences and the twisted nature that all of us have, until God straightens us out and makes us walk upon that straight and narrow and upright and godly and righteous path that we can only live because of Christ. And then the seventh question, why do I sometimes feel ugly, uncomfortable? Uncomfortable with my sin, with a conscience. I remember as a teenager, I remember that 4 or 5 years before, I'd stolen something from someone at school. It was a trivial, trivial thing. The value of it was pence, but I never forgot until I'd gone to that person 4 years later and owned up to them, I took that from you. You might not have noticed it. But until then, that uncomfortable knowledge that something trivial that gave me not only no satisfaction, but something that caused guilt. Every day, every time I saw this young man, it caused me a discomfort in my heart because I knew I wasn't right with him. I hadn't been honest enough and brave enough to go and tell him 4 years before I owned up to something trivial. And that guilt was lingering in my heart. Why do I sometimes feel guilty? Because we know what's right and wrong. Well, that's the next question. What is right and wrong? Simple answer to that. What God says so. Because what God says is right. What God says is good because it's a reflection of his character. Everything that he reveals, everything that he's ever said, is in its essence good. And therefore the word of God, which is the truth, is good and right. And that's how we know it. What is truth? Oh, the words of Pilate, John 18:38. What is truth? Not what I say, not what I feel, not what's truth to me, but what God says so. What stood the test of time? What's internally consistent? And then the final question. Would she have asked this? Why am I so unfulfilled, Solomon? I've left my kingdom of Yemen. By the time I get home, it may have been invaded by people from Saudi Arabia or India. But I've taken the risk to come all this way because I was so unfulfilled. If I lose my kingdom, so be it. But if I find a place in the kingdom of God, oh, I've gained a kingdom and I've lost one that was worthless. Why am I so unfulfilled tonight? If you're not fulfilled, if you're not satisfied deep within your heart, it's because you do not know the one who has everything that you need. All the spiritual riches, all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the understanding, all the power over sin. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, one greater than Solomon, the creator of all the earth. Is there anyone tonight? Are you seriously seeking? I'm sure there are those who've been seeking, but are you serious? Have you really gone on your knees and told him all that's within your heart? She communed with him of all that was in her heart. Surely that reference is a picture of what we need to do. Tell him everything you've done, everything you've said, all the gaping holes within your heart. And Solomon told her all her hard questions. He answered them. No doubt God gave him the wisdom. And there was nothing hid from Solomon, because God gave the wisdom to Solomon, which he told her not. Look at what she says. When the Queen of Sheba saw the wisdom, all the energy, the spirit, the questions, gone. She was satisfied. Sure, she still had questions, but all the big ones. Do you know, sometimes people ask questions that actually they're not that important. They're just distractions. I believe she asked him all the big ones. The book was closed. Everything that was on her heart, all the big questions, 10 or more, he'd answered. And all the spirit of inquisitiveness and all the searching in her heart has gone. She's satisfied. She's found what she was looking for. And she goes home that night rejoicing. She goes back. What a happy journey. No doubt she told all the people that were with her, I found the one. She'd found the pearl of greatest price. And that pearl had satisfied all her inquisitive spirit. She goes home, and in that famous phrase, the